Theological University can help. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Leave your contact, name, and number for the admissions office to reach out to you. Your first course is free. Conservative Theological University is offering courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD, all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're talking about an issue or a subject that I believe ought to be top priority for us to hear, understand, and be prepared. I'm asking the question, that's the issue today, will we have another pandemic or pandemic? The head of the World Health Organization said we will. In fact, he's already made a bold statement that it would be more difficult and more tragic than what was called COVID-19. And I am asking the question, and I'd love to hear from you. We've got Dr. Reed Sheftall that's with us today. He is one that I would say is probably the foremost in research and decision-making on what COVID was and what it wasn't, and the lie that we've been told by the FDA and by the CDC and others. Dr. Sheftall, again, thank you for being with us today. Let's kick off this session of our broadcast and interview with this. What would you say is the most important thing that we, i.e. the people, America, what is the most important thing we've learned from this COVID pandemic and how the people responded and how we should view that for future tense?
The most important thing we've learned is not to listen to the authoritative voice. Mm-hmm. They were wrong on everything. Mm-hmm. Absolutely wrong about everything, starting with the WHO director,
yes,
who said that there was a novel coronavirus when he had absolutely no basis for saying that, causing the atypical pneumonia cases they found at the so-called Hunan Seafood Wet Market.
Yeah.
That was debunked a few weeks later. And at that point, this entire charade should have ended.
That's right.
Because it was debunked that all those people that got atypical pneumonia came from the Hunan Seafood Market. Remember, that's the whole basis for saying there's a causative agent there.
Yes.
But a bunch of the people that they thought were at the Hunan Seafood Market had no connection to it at all, mm-hmm, had gotten their atypical pneumonia some other way. So it wasn't a novel coronavirus transmitted by an intermediate animal.
So again,
natural zoonotic,
yes,
spillover.
So again, we'll review what we've said previously on previous interviews. Where did this come from? Was it in a lab? Was it created by man? Is it something that was normal? Is it something that was created? And what, in your opinion, professional medical opinion, was the rationale behind this being used and Fauci being the head of that in America?
Okay, you've asked a bunch of important,
yes,
questions there. It's hard to answer all of them,
yeah,
real quick, but let me
pull them
take
together.
Them one at,
yes,
a time.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion on what it was a Well, we know that the SARS-2 virus did not exist. Mm-hmm. So if something doesn't exist, it didn't come from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and it didn't come from the Hunan Seafood Wet Market through an intermediate animal. We yes. know that.
Right.
Neither of those theories is true. Mm-hmm. Because the virus itself doesn't exist, and I can prove it very, very easily. As a matter of fact, I prove it in Volume 1 of Sanction the COVID Murders. It's That's proved in there. Now, Dr. Youngblood, let me address the second question, which is a more general question.
Yes.
What the heck is the United States got? And we've also found out that our military was involved in creating this scam.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that
horrible.
Upsetting?
Yes.
It's very, very upsetting to think that they treat the United States citizens and the public in general, the world population, this way. Where things that are done to them under the veil of medical care and helping the public do the exact opposite. It's yes. very upsetting.
It should be upsetting, and what I'm finding in some of the research that I've done, now through Robert Kennedy being in the CDC, there's been a move and carried out then by President Trump to reinstate these military people and to, in fact, give them back pay, which I think is a good move. Many of them have refused to take the reinstatement, but take receiving the back pay for having been so maltreated in relationship
yes.
to forcing them to take the vaccination.
Let me tell you something about the history of the United States government treating our military in a very bad way when it comes to medical treatment.
Yes.
I could talk for hours about this. I'll try to keep it as brief as I can.
All right.
You've heard of the Spanish flu of 1918 and 1919,
Correct.
Haven't
yes.
you? Well, we've done experiments, and they were done by Milton Rosenau on Gallup's Island in Boston and Dwayne Ritchie on Angel Island in San Francisco. You've heard of Angel
Correct.
Island.
Mm-hmm.
That showed that there was no transmissible causative agent for the Spanish flu. They did all these experiments trying to get a sick person to give it to a healthy volunteer, and they could not transmit the virus from a sick person to a well person.
But they wanted us to believe that was the case.
Sure,
with
they
COVID.
Did. They yeah. wanted it to believe that it was a contagious pandemic, and
yes.
they couldn't get one. They took 100 volunteers, and they had the mucus from a sick person injected into them, and they coughed in their face, and they spit in their mouth. They did every possible thing they could to transmit it to another person, and they were unsuccessful in every attempt
mm-hmm.
on 100 volunteers in both locations, Gallup's Island and Angel Island.
So is it possible to take that information and transition then
yeah.
with COVID and
There's
say the same
no,
thing?
There was no transmissible agent in
Correct.
COVID. There was
yet,
no SARS-2 virus.
Yet we had people in America that was taking their grocery bags, spraying
oh,
them down with water outside, spraying
Sanjay
the groceries
Gupta.
Down, wiping the counters down.
Sanjay Gupta on CNN was telling us to wipe our groceries down,
mm-hmm.
and then he was giving masks out to the other people on CNN that his daughter had knitted with holes so big you could see through them. I mean, come on. It
yeah.
was absurd.
Yeah.
They were trying to instill fear in the population.
That was the whole point that I make. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
So that they could scare people into taking this poison vaccine.
Frighten us into submission.
Right. And this poison vaccine, which normally nobody would take.
That's right.
Because all the test animals died when they tested it on ferrets.
Mm-hmm.
And you might wonder, well, why do they use ferrets all the time to test these respiratory vaccines? And the answer is a ferret. You've seen a ferret before.
Yes.
It looks kind of like a mink, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little fuzzy animal. Their respiratory systems are almost exactly like humans,
mm-hmm.
same size and everything. And so that's why we use ferrets to test for respiratory diseases, okay?
Okay.
All right. But they all died in the experiments with messenger RNA vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
And yet it's
then they go and inject it into the population, and they didn't even test it first?
Yeah, and it's supposed to be efficacious for us, yes. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you very much for your program.
Thank you so much,
Dr. Youngblood. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I got a question for the doctor. As you know, Dr. Youngblood, we have the Bible code. I sent you the Bible code on this mRNA vaccination, COVID-19 vaccination by Pfizer, Moderna, Pfizer vaccine. And Dr. Robert Malone says that it's a biological weapon. My question is, Can you confirm it's a biological weapon? Also, does it add a third strand to your DNA? Because they showed a Queen England lighting up a light that shows three strands of a DNA sequence lit up. Also, other people saying it adds another third strand to the DNA. Can this gentleman confirm that or not?
Dr. Sheftall, I'll throw that to you.
Okay, that's a very good question. It's very complicated, so I'm going to have to give you a little bit of a lengthy answer here. I'll be as brief as I can. When the vaccine was approved, like I've already said, they used the PCR method for amplification. As you know, PCR is an amplification process. It cannot be used to diagnose a disease, and that was another problem with the whole fraud. Mm-hmm. But the actual vaccines that Pfizer made that were injected into people were made by the E. coli plasmid process. Okay, that's a different process of amplification. You let the bacteria amplify it for you. But that was never tested in people. And the plasmid that was submitted to the FDA by Pfizer is different than the plasmid contents that were sequenced by Kevin McKernan, who's another MIT guy. He actually got some vaccine vials and sequenced what was in there. And we found out there was SV40 promoters and enhancers in there, and DNA contamination on the order of 642 times more than the FDA is supposed to allow. Mm-hmm. This was disclosed when we forced the FDA to disclose all this information they were trying to keep hidden for 75 years. Mm-hmm. Now, the answer to your question is yes. DNA can go from the vaccine and get incorporated into our DNA. Yes, sir, it can, and it's been proven that it does. And if you get an SV40 promoter in front of an oncogene, onc means cancer, as you know, if that promoter gets in the wrong place relative to an oncogene, it can express cancer in the recipient. And let me say one more thing about this. SV40 stands for simian vacuolating virus number 40, and it was a contaminant in the 1940s in the polio vaccine. And it's still wreaking havoc, but it was put in this plasmid that Pfizer used on purpose. They didn't even disclose it to the FDA. They sent a fake plasmid sequence in. When we sequenced it, we found all sorts of stuff that weren't supposed to be in it, including the SV40 promoters and enhancers, which are DNA. Now, let me just say one thing really quickly that will very really upset you, and I don't mean to upset you, but everyone needs to know this. If you inject this vaccine into a young lady, a young girl, and those SV40 promoters and enhancers get incorporated into her DNA in her gametes, okay, her reproductive cells, she will transmit that process onto her offspring. And she could be a 7-year-old girl, and she gets injected with this, and then she passes it on to her babies.
Yeah, it's not
good. She becomes 25 years old and gets pregnant and has her own children. They'll have it too. Yeah. It's so criminal, it's unbelievable. And it's all in my book, and it's... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So you're saying that it can add that third strand of DNA then?
Yeah, well, not a third strand. No, no, no. It just gets incorporated into the double helix of DNA that we all have.
Okay.
Enhancer takes it from the cytoplasm into the nucleus, and then it's a strand of DNA, and it gets incorporated right into our DNA.
So what Kevin has said, it could be called a third strand, though theoretically it is not.
No, it gets incorporated right into the double helix of our DNA.
Yes, yes.
And if, like I said, if the SV40 promoter gets in front of an oncogene, which is normally an inert gene, it'll activate that gene and cause cancer in the recipient. And we're finding a much higher incidence of cancer now than we did before the vaccine came out.
Absolutely.
It's hard to get I just went through it myself. It's hard to, and I didn't take the vaccine, of course. I just got cancer like we always used to get it. But it's hard to get an appointment with an oncologist now. They have like a 3-month waiting list. And before you'd go right in if you had cancer. It's just become incredible.
Absolutely. Kevin, you got any further thoughts or follow-up?
There's a lot of people talking about how it's your reproductivity is cut off. There's women that can't bear children anymore. and it alters the men's semen count and everything.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to say they knew that beforehand. They showed it in the rat model. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they didn't disclose it to the public.
So you agree with Dr. Robert Malone that this is a biological weapon. You agree with him, right, Doctor?
Well, I don't know what exactly the definition should be of a biological weapon. Right. I can tell you that the purpose of this thing was to get people to take the vaccine. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what the vaccine can do based on a timeline, which will appear in my second volume, written by a kid named Spartacus. Do you happen to know who he is? He writes a beautiful timeline of the reason why these vaccines were injected into everyone. It's based on a 75-year effort to damage our blood-brain barrier. Now, you're familiar with Neuralink, Elon Musk's company, aren't you, Kevin?
Yes, absolutely.
In order to put the device into a person's brain that Elon Musk is doing with his company, you have to do a thing called a craniotomy. You know, you have to open the skull.
Yes.
Take a piece of the bone off and insert the Neuralink device and put the brain cap, you know, the skull cap back on and wire it shut and it heals and all that. But if you can damage the blood-brain barrier, we're going to be able to get into people's brains through IVs. We'll be able to create nanobots that can go in through the blood-brain barrier and get this. Change the action potentials in the neurons in the brain. And once you start being able to change the action potentials, you're going to be able to change people's thoughts and behaviors eventually.
We'd become robotic.
Yeah, well, we want our enemies to become robotic so that the generals in a war can be, their behavior can be controlled by us. Mm-hmm. You see where we're going with this?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, doctor.
But do you understand the principle behind this? If you want to call it a bioweapon, go ahead and call it that. We're way ahead of that now. Oh my Lord! We're into the details of how they're doing it.
Doctor, this is what Washman Brandon Briggs seen. He's seen that when you take the mark of the beast, the chip in your right hand forward, it knocks out your brain. Your soul is gone. And you can't do what you want to do in your mind. So I agree 100% that this is all leading to the mark of the beast. They want to put the chip in your brain and control your mind completely, your soul.
Kevin, you're exactly right.
Remember back on a fundamental level, Kevin, the way that our brain works is with things called action potentials, okay? The nerve either fires or it does not fire. That's why binary mathematics is used to model brain function. Zeros and ones. One means there's current flowing through the circuit, and zero means there isn't. Okay? This is how computers work.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's based on a binary system.
Gotcha.
Either current flows in the wire or it doesn't. Either the action potential fires or it doesn't. Okay? So being able to put nanobots in IV fluid and have it cross the blood-brain barrier is like the holy grail of controlling behavior in people.
Absolutely.
And thoughts and everything.
And
like you say, taking away their soul, maybe.
Yes, I believe that we're in the demonic track to having that accomplished based on the future fulfillment of the Word of God. And I believe that's where Kevin is speaking of. Kevin, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking
up. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
very questions.
Much. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. So, Dr. Sheftall, let me ask you a question that is pertinent and timely. Robert Kennedy is in the CDC. Tell me something about it. I'm looking at a headline where Robert Kennedy had fired Susan Morantz, the one that was the director, and several have resigned as a result of it. So is Robert Kennedy on the right track? Is it good or is it bad? A lot of people, in fact, in Democrats in the House want to fire him, want to remove him. They're against what he's doing. Talk with us about that.
gosh, I've got so much to say about this because Robert Kennedy is a real character. Mm-hmm. He's a real interesting guy. You know, he was a Democrat. He's a Kennedy. He was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat right. for years. Mm-hmm. And he made some kind of deal with Trump to come over to his side, and he might have been promised the HHS secretarial position when he did that. I don't know anything about that. That's all speculation. But he became the HHS secretary, mm-hmm. which oversees the CDC,
yes.
the FDA, and the NIH.
Right.
So he is the boss of Dr. Bhattacharya over there at the NIH, Dr. Marty Makary at the FDA, and whoever's the interim director at the CDC right now after Marince was booted out. Mm-hmm. One thing I like about Kennedy is that he is making these groups like the Immunization Committee, you know,
mm-hmm.
Show us proof that these vaccines work
and
before he's going to allow them on the childhood vaccine schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And he's easing his way into the water here.
Yes.
If it was me, I would have dove in head first,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of these vaccines don't do anything.
Right.
It's clear in the data. Now, what he has done recently, as you well know, but for the audience, he has changed some of the childhood vaccines. He's actually reduced it from 17 required vaccines only down to 11 now. Mm-hmm. And the six that he took off of the required are now what's called shared clinical decision-making status,
mm-hmm.
which means the patient should discuss it with the doctor first,
yes.
which makes all the sense in the world. Why would you, and then the American Academy of Pediatrics is suing him and the Department of HHS because they don't want it to be shared decision-making. Isn't that ridiculous?
They don't want to be a top-down dictated method.
Oh, mm-hmm. It makes me very upset that the American Academy of Pediatrics doesn't care about the health of children and wants the doctor to discuss with the parents whether the vaccine is useful or not. They want it to be required to be given to that child.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are doctors for if they can't discuss it with the parents? But anyway, the ones that have dropped to shared clinical decision-making status are COVID-19, which should never be given to a child. It shouldn't be given to anyone. They should take them off the market.
Right.
And I've explained why many times. Influenza, which doesn't work. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Hepatitis A and B, rotavirus, meningococcal vaccine, and respiratory syncytial virus. All of these vaccines do not have enough power behind their research to be allowed to be in the universally recommended vaccine category anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And
I'm glad that Kennedy had the guts
to
take
them
off of there.
Absolutely.
And the force behind it is the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, which I watch every single one of their hearings. And Dr. Bhattacharya thought I would be a good person to be on that committee, but it never happened because I got cancer, darn it. But anyway, I watch every single one of their hearings, and Dr. Cooper-Vosser and Dr. Eldiri made a beautiful presentation on the one in September, or was it October? But anyway, that disproved that some of these vaccines are working, and it talked about all the dangers of the COVID-19 vaccine, which I'll be glad to list to anyone that wants to know. But did you know that there is a class switching from IgG3 to IgG4 the more boosters you take, and IgG4 is associated with cancer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that may be the etiology of why all these cancers are coming up after the vaccine
Absolutely.
Started.
Let me interject a question. Let me give a statement first. Recently, when at the drug counter in Walgreens, three people in front of me, and each one of them, the one behind the counter in the pharmaceutical department, asked the question, would you like to get your flu shot and your COVID vaccine? Why would these pharmaceutical outlets, Walgreens, CVS, etc., be offering the vaccination? With all that we know, all that's been revealed, all that's been uncovered, what is their motive? Is it simply money?
Yes. It's two things. It's money, but it's done in a subtle way. In other words, they want to support the pharmaceutical companies because their whole business is based on pharmaceuticals,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing what the big pharma wants them to do, and they're selling vaccines on top of it. So they're getting the $80 or whatever reimbursement from the government when they give a free flu shot or whatever they're doing. So it's partially for money. But it's very upsetting because, you know, we've proved these things don't work. The COVID-19 vaccine is harmful. You'd be better off injecting sterile water into your arm.
That's right. Absolutely. A couple of other questions that I've got on my mind in relationship to this that we're discussing today.
Can I just throw in one thing,
yes,
Doctor?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
That's all right.
Because I love your questions. But I want the public to know that the American Academy of Pediatrics is suing the Department of Health and Human Services and Robert Kennedy for putting some of these childhood vaccines in the shared clinical decision-making category.
Explain that again to our listeners, shared chemical decision.
All right, shared clinical decision. Mean. That means that the doctor and the parents discuss
they it. They can discuss it.
Before the child gets injected.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not good for that particular child. But whereas before, everything was recommended and mandatory.
Now
go to school.
I've got a question
now,
with
nowadays,
that.
Nowadays, they get to discuss it with the doctor first.
During the apex
but
of
the
COVID.
American Academy of Pediatrics sued them to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Well, here's the point that I make with that, my question in my mind. During the course of the apex of the COVID pandemic, doctors, medical associations were rewarded financially for simply saying, would you like to have the COVID shot? Those that would say yes then, the doctors and the medical associations received another stipend from Big Pharma. So is it possible today that the doctors will recommend that, even though it's a shared decision, that the doctors will recommend to the parents, yes, I think you need that because of
yes.
their financial gain.
For the same reason,
yes.
money and
yes.
supporting the pharmaceutical company. Industry. But Pastor Youngblood, did I ever show you the Anthem bribery scheme for getting family practitioners and HMO doctors to vaccinate their patients?
I've
how much extra money they made in Kentucky
yes.
because of that?
Share that.
Well, I just explained it to you.
Mm-hmm.
There were doctors in Kentucky that were getting $250 extra per patient for injecting these things.
Yes.
And they made $500,000 extra that 1 year. These
mm-hmm.
are family practitioners
mm-hmm.
that only make $220,000 or something.
Briefly, let's close out with this, Dr. Sheftall.
Okay.
Your book, Sanction, The COVID Murders.
Yeah, it's
and
all
your
in
other
there,
book.
By the way.
All of this information
all
is there.
All of it's in there.
These two books, ladies and gentlemen, can be found. Go to conservative.edu, scroll down to the bookstore. We have them in the Conservative University bookstore, and we'd be delighted to have you go online, purchase it. I think it is so informative. I'm just absolutely intrigued by the wealth of information that you have in these books that I believe every listener, this is just my opinion, you might disagree, I believe every listener needs a set of these books. The one that is Sanctioned, The COVID Murders, and the other is Heroes and Villains, The COVID-19 Book of List. It's two books, I believe, that based on where we are, where we've been, and what we're now being told, that there will be another major pandemic. I believe you need these in your hands. That is conservative.edu. Scroll to the bookstore. Order these two books. Ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful that you joined us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB.